Sanud Sharif is here. Let's get some stories from the subcontinent. Sanud's first story today is 19 candidates vying for the Sri Lankan presidency. That's some race. All eyes on next month's proceedings.
Yes, the elections are to be held on January 8th, and incumbent Mahinda Rajapaksa and his former health minister are among 19 people who've submitted their papers to contest. And interestingly, these polls have been announced 2 years in advance. Rajapaksa was first elected in 2005, then he won re-election in 2009, and now he's trying to seek an unprecedented third term in office. So the battle has already heated up, and the election comes at a time when the country is under scrutiny for alleged war crimes committed during the final stages of the war against the rebel group LTTE in 2009. So all eyes are on how these proceedings will be playing out early next month.
So there are 19 candidates. Is there any one or two that particularly stand out to be strong?
Incumbent Mahinda Rajapaksa is widely tipped to win. But few weeks ago, his health minister, M. Sirisena, he walked out of the cabinet to become the opposition candidate. So what was once seen as a one-horse race has suddenly opened up. It's energized the proceedings. And analysts say at this point, maybe Sirisena's chances of causing an upset are very remote. But some observers do think that it could be a close fight because Sirisena seems to have attracted considerable support over the last couple of weeks. Few senior members of the ruling party have crossed over and joined his campaign. Also, he has the backing of 36 other political groups and civil society representatives as well. So because of this support that he seems to be getting over the last couple of weeks, you know, some analysts aren't really ruling him out completely.
What are some of the promises that the candidates are making, key promises that they're going to be campaigning on, Sanuj?
Apart from war crime charges, the current government headed by Rajapaksa and his close aides and family members as well, they are facing allegations of corruption on an enormous scale. They also face criticism over, you know, nepotism, favoritism and intervention in the country's foreign services and the judiciary as well. And this is where the rival candidates have stepped in, trying to, you know, rather promising to clean up the entire system. In fact, the key opposition candidate Sirisena has pledged to end Sri Lanka's executive presidency, which gives enormous powers to the president. He's also given an assurance that should he win, he will not allow a UN inquiry over allegations of war crimes from 4 years ago, because many in the country think that these charges are part of a plot to defame the country. So Sirisena has said that he won't allow that UN inquiry to go ahead. Also, on the other hand, several commoners, they say that all politicians are corrupt. So the argument is at least Rajapaksa has done something for the country, because under his administration, under his rule, the country is moving fast towards development.
All right, so we'll just have to stay across that then, I suppose. But that's happening next month, isn't it, Sanush?
Yeah, January 8th is when the elections will be held.
Okay, so the next story out of the subcontinent, the European Union has announced a 7-year funding program for development initiatives in Myanmar. Sanush, what are they looking to put money into? Any certain sectors?
Yes, the focal areas will be rural development, including agriculture, food and nutrition, education, governance and peace building. And the EU has pledged nearly $900 million for this. It's to boost Myanmar's transition from an army-led isolated country to becoming an international player. And these funds will be allotted over the next 7 years, from 2014 to 2020. And it's yet another sign of support to Myanmar from the international community, because just last month at an international summit in Myanmar, there were concerns raised about the country sliding back in certain areas, such as press freedom, human rights, and the issue of funding also came up during that meeting. So now the EU has stepped in with this assistance.
Sanuj, how does the program work in terms of implementation and, I suppose, more importantly, accountability?
Well, it's said to be the result of extensive consultations with representatives of different members of society in Myanmar. And also a key element is ensuring that next year's elections in the country are credible and transparent, plus supporting the monitoring of a nationwide ceasefire. And the $900 million assistance won't be given in one go. You know, it'll be implemented over the next 7 years, and the money will be given on an annual basis, which means that the EU will have the time to review the progress made in different sectors as well.
Sanuj Sharif from the ARN News Centre. Always good to chat to you, Sanuj. Thank you.
Thank you.